holding Siman on Beis. In Sif Lamed Vav, Mishabur Sif Katan Kuf Nun Zayim. Vimshina, Vein Shaso, Mistuma Psucha, Ami Psucha Stuma. So Mechaber said if you change what's supposed to be a stuma to a psucha or vice versa, Allah is it's possible. Kuflan Ches, Vein Shmat Shirim. But to learn more, they say it's kosher b'diyevet. At the time of their argument, why it's kosher b'diyevet, Shekimen, Shaf Shabbatara, Parshas Vahim Shemaya, he's stuma. Even though Parshas Vahim Shemaya, which is the last one, is a stuma, Kamacham Kim Shabbatara, and a smucha klal of Parshas Shema, it's not connected to Shema. And the next of Shina, Masha, Harevach, Shabbain, all the Parshas Shema, Chupasuach, it's not considered improper. If you make a psuach over here, below sasum, kumash sasum harevach shalafanah b'tara, kim shagam b'tara yesh bein ala parsha shema shabatara harevach harba psuach chenis kimach kren. There's a lot of space in between the two parshas. So even though the parsha before Bahim Shemoya and Bahim Shemoya is a stuma, but we're not comparing it to that parsha. Compared to the parsha Shema, to the parsha Shema, and here there's a lot of space. So it's as it was psuach. So if some hold it for a while, you make all them psuchas, it's kosher. Kufnan test, b'kulam psuchas. So the Mashirim hold that if you make all of them psuchas, you're okay. The Mechaber said if you make a psuach into a stuma, it's a problem. Now lehepach, so we must eiz a parsha me'ashalosh parshias stuma kol yam apostle. But the other way around, to make one of the ones that's supposed to be psucha into a stuma, that's a for sure problem. Ken kosel achren. Okay, ve'oid kosel the davki moshe the parshias vayim shemoya parsha psucha kosel deyazu. We make it into psucha as opposed to a stuma. It's kosher. Avolim ein lefaneh a reva klal bein ala parsha shema. Lo bedav shelo, lo bedav shel parsha shema. Tano shehizcho lo yisah b'roish shito hal yoyno shebedav. Lo niach klal, reva klal lefaneh b'oisa shito, lo besav shito shel parsha shema. Sheniach reva v'ein b'ish kashir reva shebein parsha leparsha. Kano kdei lita b'tes ha'yusiyus. So he made an argument. In the Torah, it's written as a stuma. So, but really, it's not next to the parsha before, so it's not really relevant. So let's take the arguments all the way to the point and say, well, if I can put them right next to each other, and Shema at the end of the line before, start Rahim Shema at the beginning of this line on the top, and there's no gap at all. So it's different. They're not next to each other. So that's not true. You must leave a space between the parshias. Right here in the tefillin, you're writing them as parshias, and these parshias, as you wrote them, But Mr. Burr is dealing with over here. If he wrote Shema all the way to the end of the line, instead of Hayim Shema, beginning of the next line, like this went all the way to the bottom of the line, so it's the beginning of the next line. So that's the same thing in the Sefer Torah, as if there would be continuation of one parsha. That's how you write one parsha. One parsha continues from column to column. You go all the way to the bottom of the last line on column number one. And you start at the beginning of the line of column number two. So if you would do that, you can say, listen, it's not how it was written in the Torah anyway, so what's the difference? No, now you're writing as one long parsha. That's not acceptable. What we're being makshir is, if you write it in a case where it's a psucha, which means you leave Shema at the end of the line, you leave blank all the way to the ends, at nine oisius. You start Vayim Shemaya at the beginning of the next line. That's a psucha. So even though the Sefer Torah really Vayim Shemaya is a stuma, but for our purposes, since from Shema to Vayim Shemaya there's a lot of gap, okay, so you can deal with it as if it was a psucha. This other option, that's a Shina Gomer. Nothing to talk about. Now, which is the last parsha, at the end of the paragraph, there's no difference where you leave it off, because there's nothing after it. So you can go, and our minhag is to go all the way to the end of the line. So, so the Ramah said our minhag is to write Vayim Shemaya at the beginning of the line, like the other parshiyos. Not like the Mechaber. The Mechaber said we're going to. Says that you should write beginning of the line, and Mahim Shemaya, you indent nine or six, and you start from there. That's how the Machaber has it. Right? The Ramah says that our minhag is we start Mahim Shemaya at the beginning of the line also. What that means, we have to end Shema. No, you can't go all the way to the end of the line, but Shema, you'd have to end Shema before the end of the line. So our minhag is to. So Kaddish has been in line. It ends. There's a gap at the end. The blank at the end of the line. Shemoya blank. Then Shema. And okay, we'll get to that. And then you leave it. You would blank, and then you go start from over there. Now this is deals with. So. Right now, we're dealing with Rashi Tulland. We didn't discuss Rabbeinu Tam Tulland. Rabbeinu Tam Tulland is interesting because Rabbeinu Tam has Tulland Kaddish Bahayke Viecha Shema Bahayim Shemaya. He agrees that they're written Kesidrin, so you write Shema. And then you go back and write Vahim Shemaya. So, Vahim Shemaya, you end at the end of the line. This way, Shema is a psucha. The issue for him is going to be where do you write start Vahim Shemaya vis-a-vis Vahim Kiviyacha? The two Vahayas are next to each other. Kaddish and Shema on the out, and Vahayah are in the middle. So, okay, that's. We'll get to that in the we'll talk about that, but that's this picture. We didn't get to that yet. But Rashi is telling, so you would make Shema Psucha and then Hoyim Shemaya Psucha. That's that right, that's the picture. Now the Medina Seilu. So our minhag is to make all of them all the psuchas. Even the machshirim held its kosher. They agree the chachila it's not the chachila, like Mishabura, the first word in Yesh Machshirim. Mishabura said a kuflan ches, but yeah, but everybody agrees the chachila you should make it stuma. So why are we doing this? Why are we is our minhag the chachila to make it a psucha? Get a minhag hazeh who shall gehoiget? Kabbalah metikur amah. The Ramah quoted it. The kibun the ikur who should be the avid kosher b'cholinyan. Since the mice is kosher, the avshal asos is stuma l'divrei kol. And to make it a stuma, which will work according to the Rambam and the Rosh, is impossible. Right?
What
parsha
are you talking
about? Therefore, we follow the minhag which the Ramah is mentioning. Which you gain that you're not getting involved. In other words, to do this way, you're everybody holds its kosher. Our yeshivachim, we're following the yeshivachim. We hold its kosher. Done. That was and that became the minhag. It's a great minhag. Why is it good? Keep the minhag. Why is it we keep the minhag? Because this way you have a vada shita. You're mesamechah. But the other way you're doing it, you're trying to make it a stuma. You're not necessarily going to make it a stuma. But the Gra and the Labush say that we don't follow the minhag that the Rama is mentioning. We try and make it a stuma according to the Rambam, which according to the Rush will not be a stuma. So what do you lose? We say like this. And it's sad that it's a psucha, but you have it as kosher. So according to the Rush, it's a stuma, psucha. Okay, it's a psucha. According to the Rambam, you gain that it's a stuma. So why shouldn't we follow the Shulchan Aruch? And again, let Lisa Chatkila, like the Rambam, you're doing the right thing. And the Rosh is Kasher B'Yavid, then going like Chatkila, like everybody making it a Pesukah. Like, why we want to do that? If we can get it, make it a Stuma according to the Rambam. Because right, the Rambam holds, if you indent at the beginning of the line, you set the middle of the line, after nine Ursias, that's called a Stuma. According to the Rosh, that's called a Pesukah. So according to the Rambam, it's a Stuma. And then you've done the Chatkila. According to the Rosh, it's called a Pesukah B'Yavid, it's Kasher. So that's what the Bush and the Gra suggest you should do. Okay. Then he came along over here. So we're in Noyig. That even Parsha Vahim Shemoya, Barash Hashita, Kishar Parshias. Chem Etzilm Sharbeno Tam, Yasagam Ken Psuchas, Kulam Psuchas. You make all of them Psuchas. Vav Shekhoisiv. The way you write it, the order that you write it is you write Kaddish, you write Kalyim Yechacha, you write Shema, and you go back and you write Vahim Shemoya. Even though Vahim Shemoya is found in the Klaf early, you know, it's earlier in the Klaf, but it's written later. And this is the order, how you write Rebbeinu Tam Tzvi. So you need kashet hasayis achar ala oritz because you close the parsha shema masal v'tchilas amar b'rosh hashit. So what you're going to do is you're going to start shema at the beginning. You'll leave a blank of shema shemaim ala oritz blank. So this way shema is a psucha. And the way the Rama is saying our minig is to start v'hayim shemoya at the beginning of the line. So here's kalyu v'hayu ki yevechol, which will end nine oisias from the end of the line. Leave that blank. So therefore, this is called a psucha when it starts, which but yeah, but it's kosher. Okay. So then the mechaber says, mechaber continues, and he says, therefore, we're knowing that parsha is kadosh li b'hoi ki v'yechob and shema. You start at the beginning of the line. At the end of kadosh li and b'hoi ki v'yechob, you leave a blank of at the end of the line of line Ursius. And the Mechaber says Shema, you go all the way to the end. He's going with Rashi Tulin. And then you indent the beginning of Hayim Shema, you indent nine Ursius, and that's called a Stuma. Kuvsam of Beis. Okay, so Shema, we're Masal Rosh Hashita. The Ursus of the Psuchal Kuliyam, because Shahisha called if in the end of the last column you left nine osias blank, A, we start at the beginning of this column in the beginning of the line, B, that's called a psucha. According to everybody, according to the Rambam, we said beginning of the line, according to the Rosh, you left empty at the end of the last line. If you did not begin at the beginning of the line, even if your indentation was less than 9 osius, it's less than 9 osius. Hooray, parshas lo nikras stuma la rabba, psula filo b'dieved. So these parshas have to be psuchos. And the Rambam says if you indent, it's not called a psucha. The definition of psuch according to him is it starts at the beginning of the line, and that you didn't do. So you would pass the tefillin according to the Rambam. Prima Godim Kosov, the filu imloy himshech lifnim b'rosh kaddish, oy b'hoi ki b'echo, oy shema. So these two parshas, which need to start at the beginning of the line according to the Rambam, if any of them, if you indented rak ois achas or shtayim, Gam can yeshem the apostle with tzarchi and beset. You know, one letter. It's according not really to who? According to the Rambam. So one letter, we could argue the indentation is minimal. It's not really so visible. Maybe that's not called that you made it into a stuma, according to the Rabbah. The Maisa, the Prima Gadam says that we could argue that it's possible. And he's saying Tarachian. Or maybe you could argue that no, this is called the equivalent of starting at the beginning of the line.
What is called the equivalent of starting at the beginning of the line?
If you indented a very minimal amount, like one or two letters. And therefore, he's not sure what the halacha is. Right. Therefore. This case it's minimal enough that you don't have to be machar. But obviously the chachila we don't want to get involved in that, and you want to make sure that they start nim hisher kashir teva asher. Nearly the yesh tahakar afil b'diyevet. If the three letters are missing, three full size letters, that's already according to the Rambam. That's no good. The Rav Ashir zev vadi yesh kashisha osius katanus riyoser. Okay, so the shear of the letter, the word asher, which is three full size osias, but has equivalent of six yuds, at least, or possibly more. According to him, it's considered stuma if you work with oisis katanas. So normally the share that we leave the word asher three times. Does he have an example? But I don't know. Ah, right. Here's his picture. The gap. Would be the equivalent of if they've written in the word asher three times, blank, and leave that blank. That's your gap. That's the amount that we normally leave. But what he's saying right now is that. But now here's an example: asher, asher, asher. That's the gap that you normally would leave at the end of the line. That much blank. And so the beginning line also he's saying that's nine osius. Even that nine osius. It's vadi, according to Rambam, it's vadi astuma. So, well, but if you look at the word asher, there's a yud, there's a gap, and then there's the equivalent of a yud. There is three yud, and then the shin, and there's the resh. So, if three full size osius has more, you know, more than six osius, plus the gaps in between. So, the taz holds that's enough to say that it's called a share of taz osius, and it's vadi astuma, according to Rambam. And therefore, it's going to be a problem. That he points out that this shir that if first to be, in other words, he's saying theoretically to be yotzei the halacha of stuma, you can leave a small space indentation. That's good enough. So, and then if our purpose is that it means over here it'll be possible. Okay, in Roish Hiskol Aparsha, Afila Ois Achas Lifnim, Shavokam Sisirte Mitchilo, your loss is Gam Shar Ashuras by Vincent. So a person starts writing and he realizes he indented. Originally, you make your Sirtut, right? So you create your box, what you'll be writing in. If he realizes that, if this is where the line of a Sirtut, and he ended up not writing right by the Sirtut, but he indented a little bit, so the answer is all of the following lines should also be indented, and then you have no problem. It's not considered a stuma. It's not considered indented because that's the line. For our, you know, the fact that there was a sirtut earlier is not relevant. Okay. So. At the end of Shema. So according to the Machab, what you do is Shema, you go all the way to the end of the line, and then Hayim Shema, you indent, and therefore it's a stuma, which is what it's supposed to be. Chachil, it's supposed to be a stuma according to everybody. According to Rambam, that's called a stuma. According to Rashi, it's called a psucha. According to Rambam, that's called a stuma. That's what you do. So you go to Shema all the way to the end of the line, and if you can't get all the way to the end of the line, you leave a space of less than three of nine osius. And then that's equivalent to going to the end of the line. Tesosius. So kosa kreinim, the chatkila tzarek lahaniyach kedei gimel tebas asher. The chatkila, you want to leave at the end of Shema. No, he's coming on. Where's he going on? He's going on, sorry. So when you do leave a blank, when you do leave a blank, in order that the next one should be a psucha. So the gap should be the chatkila, 9 full-size osius, which is the equivalent of a share 3 times. So chatkila tzarek laniach kedei gimel tebas asher. Ken tzarek laniach gam ken rebach maloi beis osius ktanus mavad ates osius. To ha bein tebal tebas tzarek laniach maloi osius ktana. So when we say that the equivalent of 9 osius, we say the equivalent of, as if it written 3 words. 3 words would include with a gap in between each word, because we leave in between each word at least the shear of an ois katana. So a share, small gap, a share, a small gap, a share. So it comes out to be 9 full oisias plus 2 small oisias. So the shear of the that you're supposed to leave blank at the end of the line to make the beginning of the next line avare psucha is 9 full oisias plus 2 small oisias. And the Taz came along and said that Mikra could be that, you know, even if it's Osis Ketanis, which is Hailu Yudin, that's 9 Yudin, is good enough. He didn't require that they have to be Dafka large Osis. So even though the Osis we're dealing with are small Osis, that would be sufficient. So we measure 9 osius of the writing that the surfer is using, not of ksav ben ani, of this in this writing, what's called the gap of 9 osius. Okay, and so the share of 9 osius that we said, which is the chatchila shares, etc., that's relevant both for your psuchas and both for your stumas. When you calculate 9 osius, this would be the way you would calculate that.
Why both for your psuchas and for your stumas?
Okay, so if we do it like this,
both for your psuchas and for your stumas, you say?
For your psuchas and for your stumas.
Yes, that's right.
So now, so if you do it like that, so your first three will get a din of psucha, both according to the Rosh and according to the Rambam. So that's wonderful. And your last one will be a stuma according to the Rambam and a psucha according to the Rosh. That's what will come out. Stuma l'tasa Rambam, kub samadal. V'afta l'tasa Rosh, he psucha. So according to the Rosh, it's a psucha, which it's supposed to be a stuma. Kamachim on oisin kach ki yevshal asis v'tfilin suris stuma sheyetiv bar libe the kuliyam. But there's no way in tfilin you're going to get a stuma which would work according to everybody. Why is that? Because ki stuma shon noigin lasis b'sefer Torah. How do we get a stuma in the sefer Torah that which is kosher both according to the Rosh and according to the Rambam? What do we do? So we do the following. So we end line parsha 1, 1 in the middle of the line. We leave a gap of 9 osius, and we start parsha number 2 on the same line. So according to the Rosh, you have ksav on both sides, so that's called a stuma. According to the Rambam, that's also called a stuma. But that's not going to work right to them because we have to write each one in his own separate column. Over there, you have the leeway of having a parsha A end of this line and parsha B start on the same line. We don't have that option right to them. Each one has to be in his own column.
Why do we say that again? Because we know there's four columns.
Correct. It's sasum on both sides. You can't do that in tefillin. Each parsha has to be in its own omud. Okay, now, so that's option number. That's the standard way we do it, and that'll be according to the Rosh, and according to the Rama, that's called a stuma. But that wouldn't work over. We don't have that option over here. There's another option according to the Rush. Right? Another option of the Rush is you go all the way to the end of the Rush gave us an option of Stuma, a second option, was you go all the way, if you end Parsha number one all the way to the end of the line. You leave a full line blank. You start the next Parsha, the beginning of the next beginning of the third line. So line one is where it ends, line two is blank, line three is the beginning of the new one. So according to the Rush, it's also called a Stuma, even though there's a full line there open. Since it's flanked, as it were, by all the way to the end of line one, all the beginning of the line three, that's called, it's being flanked, it's called a stuma. Would that be an option over here? So what were the eights be? So let's apply it to Lamaisa. So we'll take Shema all the way down to the end of the line. Start with Shemoya, one line down. So instead of being the top line, it's the second line. So that's the stuma lachar. Gamkin is that gamkin in the stuma lakuliyam. The hirakla rush. That's only true. Laskila barosh shitushniya. It's according to the rush. That's called a stuma. Not according to the Rama, because the Rama you did an indent. The day he psucha because it started beginning line. It's called a psucha. So that wouldn't be an eitza either. We go to Rama. The fish came eker. The eker psak is like the Rambam. After Sefer Torah, and we after last is the divrei kol. The mashakosu when you're there, siman ayin reishay. When you get to Sefer Torah, when you're writing and you have a point where you cannot be yotze both, you go with the Rambam. So over here, we'll do the same. We're doing the same thing. The Taz came up with an idea how to solve the problem.
Who came up with an idea?
The Taz. Tadash Parsha Rishana Vishniya Yasa Kol Kamosha Kotzav Shulchan Aruch. Kaddish, you start from the line, you end nine letters before the end of the line. Rahim Shema, you start beginning the line, you end nine letters before then. So that's good. By Shema, however, you don't go all the way to the end of the line. You leave a gap which is less than nine osius ktanos. Can you niach rebach pachas with tes osius ktanos with chilas parsha by Rahim Shema? Okay. So what do we get like this? The ayire zeh she'en lo tes oisis b'mokim echod kim ayire tziruf hinikris tuma l'chuliyama. He holds you kumim tzaruf the gap between the two lines. So over here you left five oisis, less than nine oisis over here at the end of this line. Over here you started indented less than nine oisis katanas. So you don't have nine oisis katanas in either place. So what is this? So the Taz holds you mitzaref the two together. Between the two, there's nine osius katanos, and therefore it's considered a stuma. That would be a valid way to do it. Fine. So they all came up along with this eitzah, and they seem that you can do like that. So now this is a bit yevid, because we said before the chachil you're supposed to leave the equivalent of nine osius gedolus. There are full size osius, but so we're not doing that. So this is also a bit yevid. But at least you gain that you have the stuma the kuliyama at the end of wherever you're supposed to leave. That's where wherever that's supposed to be, whether it's supposed to, whether it's indenting according to the Rambam, or whether it's ending before the end of the line according. According to the Rush, fine. That b'diavad the fill of Mishir Rabba Kates Osius Gedolus Mikol Tzad Gamkein Kosher. The Rambam he's Stuma, the Rush he Psucha. So let's say you left at the end of Shema the share of nine Osius to the end of the line. Okay, then you in the top one you indented in nine Osius. So what is that? The Rambam says that's a stuma because it's not the beginning of the line. Okay, great. Kind of rush. you left a blank at the end of the previous line, and you didn't leave a whole line blank. So it's a psukha. Okay, but yeah, psukha is kosher. That b'diavad the psukha is kosher. Someone actually had that minig, and the many different the phrase nara nara pashte means you have different rivers, and each one goes out in its own direction. So there's different ways of dealing with this.
How did this parsha get to be a psukha?
Find the rush. It's a psukha because. According to the Rosh, if you end nine oases before the end of the previous line, and then you indent nine oases in the beginning of this line, so according to the Rami, you indent it, so it's a stuma. According to the Rosh, indenting doesn't make it a stuma. What makes it a stuma is that the gap is surrounded by ksav. So you. Which is not over here because the beginning of the line is all blank. According to Rosh, by definition, the beginning of the line is blank. It's a psucha. So, but b'diavad the psucha is kosher. So he tells
according
you that,
to who, if it's blank at the beginning of the line.
According to Rosh, the beginning of the line is all it's blank for 900 years. That's it's called a psucha.
900 years,
Yeah, let's say. Okay. Okay, next we're going to move away from the ksav. We're going to start talking about the batim. So let's maybe just touch at least quickly on the chabra, and we'll leave the shibur. There's no shir tomorrow. I have a chasna. Or batim tzarach liyos mi'or behem achayi v'oif tahar. It has to, the or of the batim has to be made from a kosher animal skin. But a filam in the vela, it doesn't have to be that the animal, it has to be from a species which is kosher, even though the animal itself was not kosher because the shechita was not proper or because the animal had a trach. You could also make it from the fetus, from the cloth or the aura of a child which was unborn, and they checked to the mother and they found the child inside. You take that cloth, you can use that for making batim. You can make the ritzuas also from that. And process of making the batim, that leather has to be processed for the purpose of making batim. Hecha the efsher. Now, Mr. Burr is going to talk about what's the Hecha the Efsher, because there's a Rambam which is Mako on it, and that's why we'll see. However, the Rush holds it's the Rush requires it, so if we can be yet to the Rush, we should be yet to the Rush, and we can't, we'll rely on the Rambam. Okay.